What's that?
Good.
I get to preach now, but my time is very little. So what to go with? When we went up to Christian Ministers Association meetings this last year in September, the speaker, James Jordan, and his wife Denise, were speaking about Father's heart. And as I was listening to them, I felt like I was putting on a comfortable pair of slippers. Like, oh, that's good. Oh, that's right. Oh, that's, you know, it wasn't challenging. It wasn't moving to me, but it was something that I really felt good about. And so coming back from that, I've spent quite a few hours reading and listening about that. And I felt like there's a story about, I think I read it in Rolling Stone magazine before I was saved. It's like years ago. Ginger Baker was a drummer. He drummed with a number of bands, but where I enjoyed him most was with a band called Cream. Eric Clapton played with him. Excellent band, three-man band, Jack Bruce, Eric Clapton, and Ginger Baker. And, oh, they were so good. And I read this story about him, and he would come away from a concert exhausted and feeling like he'd missed it, like his timing was off at the end and not at the beginning, and he just didn't understand what was going on. And so someone suggested to him that he go to this mentor, if you would, someone that really knew drumming and would be able to help him. So he phoned the guy. Now, Ginger Baker is a wealthy man at this point and a world-famous drummer. He phoned the guy, and the guy said, yeah, I'll come and see you, but it's going to cost you $10,000 up front. And that was a lot of money then. And so Ginger Baker said no. And but anyway, he eventually got to the place where he phoned, and he said, okay, I'll send you the 10 grand. Come on down and watch me practice. And so the guy came down, and in a practice session, took a couple of hours, just watched him. Watch this world-class drummer drum. And Ginger Baker's expecting to, you know, you need to come down harder on your paradiddle on the fourth beat, and then, you know, like that kind of thing. And the guy said at the end one thing. He said, you need to move your left foot closer in by about a half an inch. And Ginger Baker said he felt ripped off. What? But despite that, he tried it. And he said, it's the best 10 grand I ever spent. Everything he was doing was right, except he was putting too much emphasis on the outside of his foot, and he was able to bring it in. And all of the stress was removed just from repositioning his foot just a little bit. And this guy had the ability to see that, and it made all the difference to a world-class drummer. He continued to do all of those things and continued to drum excellently. That's the kind of feeling I had in listening to this thing about the Father's heart. I have grown up in the Lord, always emphasizing Jesus. Like, sort of, it's all about you, Jesus. You know? That kind of stuff. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I always felt really comfortable in that. But when I heard these people, and I started to look at it for myself. Every time Jesus was approached about that, he said, it's the Father moving through me, or I only do what I see the Father doing, or I only speak what I hear the Father speaking. And I'm thinking, there's an issue here that I was missing. I needed to move my foot just that little bit. Derek Prince, I found, said, Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, I've preached with that, and I've taught with that, and I've gone with that, but Derek Prince said, we often get caught in the way and don't get right through to the Father. No one comes to the Father but by me. You don't, it's like Jesus says, I am the door, right? Well, once the door's open, like he comes in and what's up with us, but there's a whole realm that's open to us and an ability to go and talk to the Father. And so we're like, I've been, and I don't think I have been shortchanged in any way by going to talk to Jesus all the time and it being all about Jesus. But I'll tell you, these last 2 weeks, being able to just go and talk to the Father has been just so incredible, revitalizing to me, settling to me, foundational to me. I have always held the Father kind of like Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven. And so I know Jesus lives in me and I live in Jesus, right? But Father somehow is off there. But he's not, right? The Trinity is a funny thing. And it's a mystery that we really don't grasp. It's something that we want to, and many people have explanations for it, but the three in one, and yet they're individuals. The three are one. They do everything together, always in agreement, always in unity, always in accord, and yet they are three completely individual beings. And I can't get my head around that. So I have ways of approaching them. You know, I talk to the Holy Spirit, and I talk to Jesus, and Father's always been a little bit scary to me. And so I only go to him if I really need to, you know. Like, can I borrow the keys to the car, sir? Because Jesus is easy to talk to, right? I've known him all the time. Now, don't get me wrong. The Father is totally approachable now. The stuff was always in me and not in him. The fault was in my brain because I hadn't allowed my heart to wrap around it. And some things are revealed to our hearts and not to our brains. Sometimes our hearts get it before our brain can engage. Sometimes you hear a prophecy and oh, it was so good, but I don't know what it was that was good. Because you're trying to wrap your brain around something that's spiritual. And so I think that the Lord is telling me to spend the next little while. I don't mean today. You're not going to be with me for hours. talking about the Father and how important that is. Because you look at what Jesus did, and the whole idea was to get us access to that place where nobody had access to. Once a year, one special person would go in under the fear of death and approach where the Father was. The high priest would, you know, he'd go behind the veil. Now, the veil's been torn in two. Jesus did that. He made a way for us to go boldly into the throne of grace. How many times have we talked about that? How many times have we preached about that? I have the right to go in. And it says Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. So I go in and I talk to Jesus. Because God's busy. My dad was always busy. But I have the right to go in and talk to him, to the Father. And the Father needs to be revealed to us. And I'll show you where that, you know, Jesus reveals the Father to whom he chooses to reveal. Things like Jesus says, no one has seen the Father but the Son, and whom the Son chooses to reveal him to. Now that's a big statement that I didn't fully understand. But when you look at it in context, Adam fell, and that seed went through mankind. Jesus, when he was conceived by way of Holy Spirit. No sperm, no egg of human, but into the womb of a woman, right? And so he didn't have any of that sin in him. And so the veil that was put up wasn't there for him. He's able to see God fully. And so when we become born again, the veil is removed. And he is revealed to us by Jesus, whom we accept into our hearts at that time. And so he reveals him to us. That's the only way it can happen. But if you're not looking for it, you receive not because you ask not. I mean, the stuff just kind of rolls. All of the truth of the Bible, I find rolls off my mind, and I'm thinking, well, this is way bigger than I'd ever imagined. Let me just go to some place. I'm trying to give you a little promise of what's coming, because I had a sermon to explain some of the stuff, but Trevor came and it's always good to hear from him. So here, we are in Christ. Everybody understands that, right? And he is in us. No problem, right? I'm not going to get any argument here. Our life has been swallowed up in his life. We are baptized into him, and now it is. Now, this is from Galatians 2:20. Now, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If we... we look at that... Jesus is in me all the time. I am in Jesus all the time. Where is the Father? Holy Spirit's available. He's just there. He's all everywhere. But where's the Father? He's on his throne. But if you look at John 17, Jesus' prayer, he says, you are in me, and I am in you. And they can have the same thing. Let it be so. We'll go over this in the coming days. But so Jesus is in me, I'm in Jesus. Jesus is in the Father, the Father's in Jesus, the Father's in me. All the time. All the time. I have full access all the time to the Father, to the Godhead. And it becomes that easy. that wonderful? Jesus, I think, would be not so happy that it's all about him. Because if you look at the way he preached, Holy Spirit always says, oh, it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. He's always pointing to Jesus. He doesn't want anything himself. It's Jesus. Jesus was always saying, it's the Father. It's the Father. It's all about the Father. He wouldn't have gone to the cross, but that the Father asked him so that love could be expressed to us. We heard, God is love this morning, and we sang, God is love. You are love. The love needed to be expressed, but only through the proper sacrifice and death of a perfect person, and that resurrecting that person, could that all be made available. But it's the whole place and purpose of it is access to Daddy. The Daddy that we've all missed. The Daddy that's available to us. In Aramaic, they call the Father Abba, which translated is Daddy. It's not irreverent to call him Daddy. It's totally cool. But yet where we get much of our understanding of who the Godhead is, and that means all three of them, is from our family of origin. And most of us had less than perfect dads. Unapproachable for some reason. And, and so going to the Father just is harder for many of us. Accepting the love of the Father is harder for many of us. It's easier for Jesus to love us, easier to approach Jesus. But the Father, we have access to him. And he is available, and he is love. And I believe that what's happening all over the world right now, from the research I did this last 2 weeks, is that there is an explosion, a gentle, wonderful explosion of the Father heart of God being shown to everyone. Beautiful. That no matter what is coming, we can trust it. Yes. Trevor experienced that. Like he's in his humility, he said he was whining. But in the world, he had every reason to whine. But when you understand the goodness of God, when you understand how much he loves each of us individually, you wouldn't want to whine. You would want to say, thank you. Thanks that I'm going through this terrible, rotten, ugly time, season in my life. My whole family's having problems, and my life is falling apart. Thank you for that. Because something wonderful is coming out of it. Something absolutely astounding to us, because he is good all of the time. All of the time, he is good. We say it, but we don't believe it half the time. He is good all of the time. And it doesn't matter. Like, this last 17 months have been horrible for my family. And yet we've seen incredible joy in the midst of it. Those moments when we can get to open ourselves to him, it's like things change. And wonder comes, and he's met us all the time. When things look the darkest, he shows up with a light. He is just so incredible. And I would complain, but he's the only one to listen to me. And I just know he's going to say, you don't have to do that. Because I know it's going to be good. I don't know how it's going to be good, but I know him.
Praise God.
And so it's going to work out. If if it doesn't work out here, right? The 120 years that I'm going to live. Moses did. And his eyesight was not dimmed and his vigor was unabated. He could climb a mountain on his 120th birthday. That's what I'm going for. Anyway, if it doesn't happen here, how long is eternity? I get to. It's more than 120 years, right? I was really good at math, and I think I understand that it's longer than 120 years. And so I can trust him that it's going to be good for the best of the time. And that it will be but a foggy memory to me. All of the whining and complaining and anxiety and weirdness that I went through in the 120 years. It will be like a vapor or a mist. Just, oh yeah, there was something back there 8,600,000 years ago that I was upset about, but I sort of forget it now. Because he's good all the time.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
And so I want to show you, if you'll allow me and if you'll show up every week, the heart of God and how we access it and how we enjoy it together. The Father heart of God. And I have the sense that it's going to be just enlivening to us. Amen. Refreshing to us. To open up a place to us that we so needed. And we will so need in these days. Because the days aren't getting brighter the way I see it. And we're going to need to have faith that God will get us through. Jen, are you around somewhere? I don't see you here. Look at that. She's running.
Hallelujah.
Whoa. There is power in the spoken word. Thank you, Jesus. So why don't we sing with Jen just a little bit, and I'll come up and pray. And I'm going to ask you to open your hearts. And when I say, will you invite Jesus to reveal the Father to you in a new way? I'm going to ask you to do that because I believe he's going to do that today. You're going to see the Father in a new light. You're going to move your foot a quarter of an inch and things are going to seem less stressful and more peaceful because of a revelation that he's going to pour out on us. So let's rise and sing to him.